This is really not going to work out.
Are you trying to come over here?
Come on.
Yes.
Happy 2025, Coco.
Okay. Okay. Ow. Okay. 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 Thanks. Oh my God.
Thanks, Uncle Mikey.
It's 2025. What's up, people? This is Plurality. My name is Mikey. Say what up to the Aarons.
Heyo.
Heyo.
We're really stoked about this year. A lot of big things. And right now, we've got a guest on to this podcast about beautiful music and beautiful people. I'm excited, Plurbies, to just launch into this 2025 listening to music. And not just any music, but how about some unreleased music from a dear friend of ours. From a friend who has undergone a musical transformation. He's fearlessly forging a new path into an old world and really embodying that musical exploration, those themes that we love here at Plurality. Who's this friend, you might ask? Let me tell you, this guy has lived a life. We were just talking about this. So many lives. I know that we don't have time for all the lives today, but we'll see what we can do. You might see him doing handstand push-ups in Ibiza. Maybe he's in Australia doing backflips in flip-flops. Or perhaps he's throwing boat parties in Amsterdam. He could be sending flash kicks on the beaches of Thailand. A flash kick, I've learned, are those flippy, jumpy karate kicks. And my man here has the karate skills to go with the musical chops. He's the owner of multiple music labels, a music festival, a wealth of knowledge about the dance music industry, and he also happens to be filled with an abundance of kindness, a service mentality, a passion for promoting up-and-coming artists, and he's just a cool dude. Please give a warm welcome to our homie, Tom, now known as Dr. Greco.
What an intro.
Yo, what a tune this is. Hey, Doc, what song is this?
This one's called Reese's Pieces. We love those Reese bass lines.
At the time of this recording being released, this is actually unreleased. January 10th, an exciting day, as this track with Dr. Greco and 1TK is being released to the world.
Yes.
It's named so appropriately. It's like so sweet, a little salty.
Nice and warm, you know, on that low end.
Pop it in your mouth. Enjoy.
Yeah, shout out to 1TK.
We love a good bass line.
Tell us about 1TK.
So 1TK is a good friend of mine out in Toronto. Actually used to be part of a duo called Hollow that we first signed a few years back on Rostam Deep, and has recently changed things up, similar to what I've been doing, more on the UKG side. We came together and threw down on this project I was having a little bit of hard time like completing, and he was like, bro, just send it over. And I was like, say less, and here it is. It was just beautiful. So shout out to 1TK. Keep an eye out on him. He's doing major things. And yeah, this will come out on Big Trouble Records, Andre Zimmer's label out in Toronto as well. So keep an eye out on him too. He's insane.
It all came together.
This one's stanky.
I'm so happy you guys enjoy it.
I love it.
Well, at this podcast, we have planned today drop of the week as usual. Then we are going to go back to medical school because we have a full-fledged doctor here. But how do you get to be a doctor? You got to go to med school. You got to go to do your residency. There's a lot of steps until you can become a doctor. So we're going to touch on a few of those steps. But right now, I think we're all interested in where you are today. So I want to throw it over to Moody to start to get into that.
Absolutely. So before we get into the drop of the week, I thought it would be a good time for us to talk about your transition into hard dance and Eurotrance that happened in the last like year, 2 years. And I'm not going to lie, I had to look up what Eurotrance like specifically was. But what I gathered is Eurotrance combines trance's high energy with Eurodance's catchy pop-oriented melodies and vocals, which makes it just like such a fun genre because like Eurodance is so fun, trance is so fun. Having a baby with those two genres and then like making Eurotrance is just like, whoop, I'm here for it. I love it. So that leads me to ask, Was there a defining moment where you suddenly realized you wanted to pivot creatively? Because before you were making like house tech house, or was it more of like a series of events that made you want to pursue a new sound?
That's a great question. Honestly, after 10 plus years of working on house music and tech house and then kind of going into the minimal deep tech, you know, I kind of found myself a little bit dry in a sort of inspiration. So I took about a solid year off from working on music and just reset a little bit. I had put a lot of focus on our music festival, Odyssey, and it just felt like a good time to kind of like put my own personal goals aside as far as creativity goes. And I basically just dove into a bunch of new music, was listening to all types of stuff, you know, like UKG, obviously. Marlon Hofstadt was a big one for me, DJ Heartstring. Katama was a big influence, but was still on that kind of like dirty underground house music tip. Mall Grab as well. And I noticed that things were starting to get faster. At that time, I still was, you know, I was like, there's no way my fans are going to enjoy this or keep up with this. But dating back when I started listening to dance music, trance and Eurodance were at the forefront. Like that was what I listened to as a kid growing up. Obviously, you know, it was one of the only styles of dance music you can find on radio or on CDs. I remember buying like Trance World from like Tower Records. Every time they would drop a record, I would go out to ride my bike to the record shop and grab one and come back. I would listen to like a couple of the tracks and I would just buy it. There was really not much else on the market. Tiesto was a huge influence on that. BT, obviously. Come on. So, I think for me, I was just kind of in a point in my life where I felt like I needed to do something different because I've always tried to stay on the cutting edge of music. And I've noticed that, you know, there was a lot of saturation in this market now, obviously, in every which way you look. And I was just really inspired by a lot of the trancier elements, even going to our bass label, The Wave Stage, when we started that in around like 2020, 2021. That kind of drew me to Wave as well, because they really focused on a lot of trancey synths and melodies. And at that time, dance music, like at least my style, like tech house, deep house, all of that, still wasn't really like celebrating melodic music. And I felt like The Wave Stage was like the bridge to trance and Eurodance and hard dance. Again, there's like so many words and names for it right now going around. There's hard groove. There's a hard style, obviously, has been around for years. And I like that. I like when people are trying to figure out, what do you call this? You know, it's usually a good sign. It's not saturated yet. There's not like everyone trying to chase that sound. And we did that with Tech House in the United States back in around 2016, 2017, back when I think like EDM, the most general form of EDM was really popping off. I'm talking like Martin Garrix, that style of music. And then, you know, there was Deep House that started to kind of bubble up. And I went to Amsterdam and all my friends on our boat party are all playing minimal and deep tech. And I'm over here with my USB with Tech House. I was like, come on, guys, like, you didn't even let me know what was going on. I got to come out here and find out firsthand. So that's definitely the joy of traveling and the benefit of traveling to different countries, different places, is that you get a different perspective on what's happening in other parts of the world. It's always been an inspiration seeing artists from different places supporting stuff that I'm doing, because it gives me the courage to do something different in the States, where it's a lot of media messages, a lot of sheeple, I will say, you know, that kind of follow the herd. And I, you know, again, like, nothing wrong with that. I love all styles of music, but as a DJ and an artist, you're always striving for that like next best thing. Like, creatively, you want to do something different that nobody else is doing. And I fell into that like mindset really early on in my career, and I started making like really like dark minimal style techno when I was just starting to produce, and it just didn't work out. I just had friends that were really successful in that field, And I just kept trying to like chase that, and it never worked out. Like the music never really hit. You know, me personally, I felt undervalued. I didn't feel like I was really getting anywhere. It just wasn't a great feeling. And it was for a reason. You were just doing the wrong things. It's just life telling you, maybe try something different. So yeah, there's a lot of influences. I think it's just the early childhood that really just got reignited by this new resurgence in hard dance and Eurodance, things of that nature. And after Odyssey 2023, and I'm always spent after the festival. So me and Christine will take like a month or two off and we'll just reset. And that was a good time for me because I just locked myself in my living room studio and just worked on music just for fun. Had no intention of Dr. Greco being a thing. I didn't have a name for it. Shout out to Enigma for helping me with the name. He was the one that suggested it. And I was like, I'm down because Dr. Jones, Aqua, you know. So, yeah, it was a culmination of things. But I think it was for sure like my childhood being reignited and wanting more energy in the dance floor and wanting to be an influence of just happiness and joy on a dance floor versus like intensity and coolness. Like the elements of cool is a real thing. It's like if you ever studied marketing or promotions, like that's a real thing. And the markets move towards whatever is popular. And I guess, yeah, it was just me being me, really, truly.
That's so dope. I love that you and I have like such similar backgrounds with music, because like Eurodance and trance were also like things that I was listening to a lot at a young age. But like you say, that also was kind of like only what we had in the States. I mean, not that there weren't other genres also like with underground, you know, scenes, but like as far as like commercial mainstream stuff went, like, yeah, we didn't have access to much.
It was accessible for sure, you know, and many other styles, just like even just classic house music, the tracks that would make it onto the radio, like the Show Me Loves and, you know, some of Todd Terry's records and Kenny Dope and Louis Vega would hit the radio. And, you know, I'd be enjoying all this music, not knowing who made it. Meanwhile, 20 years later, they're like my mentors. So it was a lot of full circle moments. You grew up in New York as well?
No, Florida.
In Florida. Okay. So I feel like you had some Florida breaks then, influences that you may have been exposed to growing up.
Yeah, I knew DJ Icy, and I finally got to see him play at EDCO last year for the first time. That was awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, so I feel like, you know, the radio was basically all we had back in the day, unless you were lucky enough to know people going to the clubs and getting, like, promo CDs like my brother. My brother's 8 years older than me, so he would bring back all the promo CDs and I'd go and steal them from his car and put them in my CD player in the house.
Awesome.
Sick. I also got some promo CDs from my dad because he worked at a radio station.
Oh, that's great. That explains a lot.
Yeah, he was the GM of 5 radio stations, and none of them were dance. Wow. Actually, it was like easy listening, and like country was his biggest station.
I believe it, yeah. I worked for Clear Channel Communications for 5 years in Florida. Country music is the biggest music in the United States. And I knew nothing about country music before working at Clear Channel, which is now iHeartMedia. And I grew a love for country, and I absolutely love the crowd. There's some of the most humble, loving people in that community. And really changed my mind about country. And I learned a lot about oldies and Light FM. That was another station, a rock station I loved working for because that was a little more relevant for me. And got a taste of like the behind the scenes and met some of the artists, you know, working the events for the radio stations. And that was another big inspiring movement in my life growing up that definitely influenced us opening up a music festival. And shout out to Ovidio Santiago. He's our operations director and my old boss at the radio stations that I was calling as I thought of this idea to make a festival or produce a festival. I was like, hey, Ovidio, what do you think about an EDM dance music festival? He's like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do it. I was like, all right, that's all I need to know. I'll call you back in a couple days.
Well, that's so sick. Have you heard of Kix Country 92.9?
No, we're in Florida because I know it's all regional and,
yeah, yeah.
and different markets.
Well, it is Clear Channel though, so I was just wondering if you okay. had heard it. Yeah, my dad was the general manager of 5 Clear Channel stations.
Awesome, yeah. I worked for 106.5 CTQ. That was our country station, and I think it branched down to Sarasota, but didn't go very much past Sarasota. Our rock station was more in that market, like the Port Charlotte, Fort Myers, like a little further south.
What was the number for the rock station?
105.9 The Buzz.
Yes, I love 105.9. Yeah. Let's go.
I had such a good time working those ones.
That's so funny, dude. I loved that station. I listened to it all the time.
Fun fact, I ran the board one time. It was like one of the only times I ever ran like a board for radio, which is like super confusing. It looks like you're a mixing engineer.
Yeah, I've actually done it too.
Yeah, it's hard work. Like, shout out to all the jocks like doing that work, because now seems like it's on the downtrend, like less and less, you know, radio personalities are local. And I think that's what's great about plurality is that you can now make your own podcast, radio station, talk show, and reach anyone in the world. So congrats to you guys. And thank you for everything you do for the scene. Like, I can't thank you enough, because when I was growing up, I used to wish that dance music was more popular, so I wasn't the weird kid anymore. And I got what I wish for, that's for sure. Be careful what you wish for. Sometimes, those things come true.
Thank you, man. That is so sweet. We're just excited to get to have this opportunity to not just chat with people like you, but genuinely connect and, you know, be a part of each other's journeys and pushing each other to
family.
to keep going. And we've actually been texting back and forth like today. For the drop of the week. Usually we have the artist pick the drop of the week, but you said, let me just send you some tracks that are unreleased. You guys just pick whatever one that you like. Surprise me.
Yes.
Which, side note, very cool that now you're going to release this track to get to be a part of that song release process with the artist we think highly of. Super cool.
Absolutely.
Never really thought that would be a thing when we started this show. But anyway, you sent us some tracks, and then you were like, wait, here's a couple more, and we listened and we picked one.
I was messing with you. I was just trying to overload you.
You sent us 10 unreleased tracks in total, and I know you have got more cooking. So I was just looking at my phone, receiving track after track after track, and I was struck with this thought, like, dang, this guy is so inspired right now. So could you just speak to that space of inspiration you're in right now? How much fun you're having right now?
Yes, that's the best thing I can do right now, because it's really all I think about every day is how am I going to change the game today, right? I owe it to the artists. Like, the artists have been incredible surrounding this space. Although there's not really an ecosystem or like a market yet in the States for this style, I noticed that it's starting to happen in smaller markets. Like, I just went to Dallas for a month and wound up at a party where they're bringing Morelia, and they brought Miyuki over there earlier in the year.
We love Miyuki.
The promoters that have the courage to do events that aren't already blown up and making tons of money and selling tons of tickets, you know, I vouch for those kinds of people, because I myself are like that. I know you guys are too. Taking chances on music that you resonate with is the best thing you can do, because it's true to yourself. So I have to go back to the artists that have supported me over this past year. I've only been working on this style of music for about a year now. It's like just come to a year. And the supports have been insane. And that's what really keeps me going, is noticing people listening and playing my stuff, not only here in the States, but around the world. I mean, it's pretty profound when you're just sitting at home working on like this song, you know, on your laptop. And then a few days later, you get a video from Patrick Topping playing it in Australia to like 5,000 people. And it never gets old either. The joy of what I do. And I forgot that feeling like a couple years ago, because I stopped making music that I was really passionate about. And I noticed that trend. I was like, wow, I'm really uninspired, and I'm having to force myself to make music, and everything's sounding the same. And I'm sure you've heard this before, right? So I'll give a shout out to Enigma. was one of my first homies that was like, yeah, I really like what you're doing. Like, keep sending me stuff. I'll give you feedback. And he just really encouraged me. Like, I was just starting out with this sound and I was just making it for fun. Again, like I said, I didn't have an intention of making it into a legitimate project yet. I think everything should start from passion and love and just fun. I think moving into this space when DJing and producing and promoting and hosting events all became like my job, I wanted to disconnect from that a little bit. And my escape has always been music. And it's weird to say that because it's like music is my passion in my life for years now. And I'm super grateful for that. But it took a lot of hard work and you have to treat it serious in order for you to do it as a career, for you to be taken serious from your peers, your parents, your loved ones. Like, they're the biggest critics in the world. So those are the first you got to sway. And trust me, I'm still swaying my parents. Like, it takes a long time. It'll take years. Even when we hit the height, we'll still be convincing them. And that's okay. But I would say, like, Marlon Hofstadt was a really big one. I really can't wait to see him in the States. I think he's going to redefine the genre for a lot of young people in the United States. Usually it takes a couple big artists to really, like, catapult the sound and really give the sound an identity. And his whole MO is just fun and excitement and love. And he actually produced music for years, just like myself. So I had a lot of real parallels with what he went through. He had releases on some amazing labels. John Mood is another one who's incredible and did the same thing. Like, had a release, I think, on, like, can't remember the name of the label right now, but it's like a very reputable underground dance music label, like a deep house label that I was a major fan of and would have killed to sign to that label. And to see these artists like making the jump to this new sound was enough for me to be like, all right, I've been wanting to do this for a while. When I first started making music, I was making sort of like melodic stuff, but none of my friends liked it. They were like, oh, that's weird. It's too bright. It's like, and they're all like, you know, in the clubs and like the gremlin dens and the after hours clubs. So obviously it's not gonna work in those kinds of settings. And I just didn't really have the courage at the time to really say to myself, like, don't worry about that. It's just like three guys that don't think it's good. Like, there's other people in the world that might like it. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many artists. I mean, obviously, Miha, huge shout out to Miha. She has been a beacon of light for not only like artists in my genre recently, but she's been a beacon of creativity for years, like over 10 years, like working with some of the greats. She's got so much courage and I give her so much credit for what she's been able to do. Moving out to Berlin, like, that's just incredible. I love to see those stories and it inspires so many people. And my whole MO was to inspire others as well when I started, because everyone told me I'm nuts for trying to do this when I was younger. I wanted to prove to myself first and foremost that the most talented musician isn't what it takes to become a DJ or producer. Like, you can work at it, you can learn, you can trial and error and just work really hard and get to where you want to be. I'm an ex-martial artist and a gymnast. I've done really insane physical stuff before. And I know through trial and error and just practice and practice and practice. Yeah, I wasn't able to do a backflip when I first started, but yeah, over a couple of years, I was doing double backs and triple fulls and all crazy stuff. So I think for me, like, learning all of that at a young age and just having self-discipline, because you need to have self-discipline as an independent artist, because nobody else is going to stand behind you and be like, oh, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. Like, you're lucky to have people in your life that encourage you like that. And that's why I brought up Enigma. Keep those people close. Like, those are the real ones. You know, shout out to all the artists that have been supporting me. Bad Boombox, another great, like, amazing energy, super fun. Their whole crew is just insane. Like, I had so much fun working with them this year. Polymore, we just, you guys premiered Derb.
Derb!
Everywhere right now.
Derb in the club.
Derb's everywhere. We were just all watching that video from Academy LA. That energy, talk about passion, love, and energy, man. Yeah. That room had it.
Yeah, Jester, how do you say his name? We just connected today, actually.
Jester,
amazing. Chrome bodies, amazing. Let me see. DJ Wi-Fi in LA is incredible. I mean, like, the more I spend time working on this music, the more I get inspired, because I thought I was early to this game. Hell no. There are plenty of people doing really amazing work right now in this space, like Eurodance, Hard Dance, Hard Groove. Big shout out to Test Press as well. Them coming together on this collab was the best. And then Micah, that owns Polymore, is an artist on Rawsome from like 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, I'm like, oh my God, bro, this is so great. Like, now you're signing me.
Yeah.
Well, that's the energy that we need. Why don't we get into your drop of the week, which you don't know what it is.
I'm excited to hear it regardless.
We picked a good one. Don't worry.
Sick. We sure did. And we were talking about it earlier today. So without further ado, let's listen to Superman.
Let's go.
As soon as I heard this track, which, by the way, thank you so much for it, I immediately pulled up Aqua.
Oh, yeah.
That Candyman song came to my head immediately, and I sent it to Aaron and Mikey. I was like, this is it. This is so sick. And it really harkens back to my childhood as well. And I loved Aqua so much as a kid. So much of what you've just shared, it just resonates so deeply. I'm so grateful that you have stayed true to yourself and to your sound and to your art and to exactly who you are, because I can hear your evolution. And I'm like, God, thank God you did that, because it sounds so good and it sounds so true and it sounds so authentic and it sounds so fun and it's so real. And thank goodness you didn't listen to those three guys who were like, this sounds good. It sounds so good.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like, who are you if you weren't influenced by Aqua or Bangle Boys or Eiffel 65?
Thank you.
You know, like,
snap.
I don't know, but they were way ahead of their time. And like Gigi D'Agostino and Scooter, and there's just so many. I went to this is still one of my favorite moments in life. While I was living in Toronto, I went to see Aqua, Vanga Boys, Fred something, I forget, I'm too sexy for my shirt,
yep,
guy. The energy, and keep in mind, I'm looking at people in the crowd that are from every background, age, everyone, their kids, that, like, it was the greatest thing ever. And this was before I started Odyssey, and this was another big moment where I was like, wow, every single word to every single song, every single person is singing in sync. It was the best time ever, and you felt so comfortable singing all this stuff. It was like,
yes,
where were you guys my whole life, you know?
Honestly,
they are so great live. Like, if you ever get the chance, and I will do my utmost best to raise money to book the Vanga Boys or Aqua or Eiffel 65 at some point in my career, because it was just so much fun. And the people that were there, you can just tell, like, everyone just was loving life for those moments. So yeah, super emotional, but amazing. And the story of that Toy Box remix, the Superman song, is I like kind of rediscovered them while I was in Dallas. And I literally danced around my room by myself for like an hour straight with that song on repeat. And the next day I woke up and I just couldn't stop listening to it again. I was like, I have to stop. I was like, I opened up Logic and I was like, I need to just do my own like version of this track. Same thing happened with the Under My Spell with Snow Strippers. You'll notice like a lot of my remixes, edits, remakes, whatever, like they are truly special to me. Like I would never touch those records unless I was like obsessed. So I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Snaps all around.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, the graphic you made for it's pretty dope.
Well, that's Christine. So shout out to Christine.
Christine. We couldn't go this episode without talking about her.
Absolutely.
She makes some pretty cool cover arts. I got a few details here about Toy Box, who is the duo responsible for the original track Super Duper Man that this is a remix of.
Like the AB conversation with the guy and the girl. I told Christine, I was like, we need to do our own version of this. Like, in 2025,
oh my gosh,
she's all right, like, we're cooking. We're cooking.
The heat is on. So that's off their 1999 album, Fantastic. It's a Danish pop group featuring vocalist Anila and Amir, known for that bubblegum synth pop sound. And they haven't released anything since their second album, Toy Ride, in 2001. But in 2017, they did join the Venga Boys and fellow Danes Aqua on tour.
Yes.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's wild to see. You know, I think, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you guys think this as well, but I feel like Spotify and the streaming era has really revitalized a lot of the older artists that have come before us. Like, their careers have basically almost gotten bigger. Like, I would say that with Venga Boys 100%, with no doubt, they're selling more tickets than they sold back in 99 and 2000.
For sure.
Like 100%.
I would say TikTok definitely helps with that too, because, like, you know, they have these little...
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. Yeah, TikTok for sure.
Sound bites of these songs that are going viral, of songs that came out 30 years ago, and then they're like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting that to happen today, but here we are.
Yeah. So it's great to see that music really has no timeline. It is just forever endless. And, you know, no matter where you are in time, like, you know, we could be gone and people would still be listening to music that you've made. And I think that was the coolest thing, is like, legacy is leaving some sort of mark on the world, whether it's with your spirit, your energy, your charity work, things like that. And music has always been like just an amazing vehicle to joy and happiness, almost like a time capsule, especially for me.
No doubt.
Time travel is real.
Let's continue our drop of the week then. Moody, I'm just going to turn the floor over to you and then watch Tom's reaction.
Oh boy.
Should I say what it is or just play it? Should we just play it?
No, just go for
Let's
it.
Let's just
yeah.
play it, Mikey, and we'll talk about it after. Play it, babe.
It might take a second to upload here.
I'm getting my bop ready.
Is it a bop song? Is it a sway song? Is it a groove song?
I'm just happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Yeah, super happy to have you.
Ooh. shout out the BT. I hope he sees this.
That would be pretty sweet.
Oh, he's on the web. He's still Web 3 too. He's doing all types of stuff.
Oh, really?
He's a technologist.
Yes.
That's how he categorizes himself. Not really a musician, but a technologist.
Wow.
So good. The stutter edit. Oh.
I still have my stutter edit on as a plugin.
Dude, there are no words. No words for this man.
I've tried it for years. There's no words. There's absolutely no words.
Well, I appreciate Tom singing every word to that song the moment that it came on.
That's a special one.
It is a special one. It's another track from 1999. So I love that we both have
that's great.
Our drops of the week. It was a great year, 1999. A lot of good music came up. And this track was off his album, Movement and Still Life, which to this day is such an incredible body of work. It was pushing boundaries. It still is pushing boundaries to this day. Something I learned today that I actually didn't know, the lyrics of this track are sampled from a 1989 track by Judy Zook titled We'll Go Dreaming. I went and listened back to it, and it's like an old, 80s track. And I was
nice.
Like, dang, I had no idea. I thought that they just like wrote those vocals. Kirsty Hawkshaw, she's the vocalist.
Can we say the title of the song and the artist for anyone who doesn't know?
Absolutely. This track is called Dreaming by BT, and it features the vocalist Kirsty Hawkshaw.
Amazing, amazing song. Woo. I will remix that one day, but I'm always very, very hesitant to touch anything from BT because there's no getting better than what he does.
But you know what? Like, he releases so many of the remixes that people do put out of his work. So, I mean, you should probably do it.
Hey, we're early. We're just getting warmed up. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, BT is probably the most prolific artist that I've had the pleasure of discovering in my lifetime. And I feel like the more you dig about him, the more you fall in love with his art and why he does it and the way he thinks. And it's just, he was so ahead of his time for that day and age that he got flown out like by Sasha to go play in London. I think this was in like the early 90s during his like first album, before his first album came out, because I think Sasha helped like get that record out because no one in the States was ready for that. No one was into it. No one knew what the hell was going on with that stuff. Like, they were like, you're from Mars or something.
These
like
robot noises.
Yeah. And I feel like I love listening back to his old records because his first one or two albums, like Ima, they're so house related, like kind of like a Jack in House, but kind of futuristic. It's just a story. They're like 7-8 minute tracks that have so much emotion and life to them. And I think like my favorite way to explain BT to somebody that doesn't know who BT is. You know the Fast and the Furious, like the first one, like all the music in that movie was because of BT. BT made all that. Like Race Wars.
We'll be right back.
funny thing is, in that Race Wars scene, that's my favorite like bit of music. And a guy that I actually studied in martial arts raced against Michelle Rodriguez in that scene. His name's David Douglas. He's an incredible martial artist. And it blew my mind when I saw him hollering at Michelle Rodriguez. What is happening?
He wasn't doing any martial arts.
None,
in the scene.
None whatsoever. I mean, that was, I was like, damn, what a great gig, you know?
It's so random.
But yeah, back to BT. He's just out of this world. Like, I hope, again, he sees this and hears the appreciation that we all have for his music, because it's touched so many different people around the world. And I think he's really propelled the music industry in so many different ways, like developing Isotope and, you know, Stutter Edit and all these different like plugins and things that enhance producers like myself that aren't wizards and are making it easier for producers to make cutting edge music because of his innovative nature and his just thirst for technology and advancements in music. He just thinks on a different level when we're talking about music.
The non-wizards are really grateful.
Yes, thank you.
Now he's also working on some technology, some AI tools to help with music creation.
I'm ready for it.
He actually spoke at Congress when a hearing was being held about AI technology, and he is a proponent of it, and he thinks that we shouldn't be afraid of technology. We should embrace it, and as long as we like go into it with in a headspace where like this is to help facilitate the human experience, not to take away from it
or to replace it
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that he spoke on Congress, but I think he's probably one of the most suitable people to speak about technology. I think he's really up there with Elon as far as like brains are concerned. Like, I actually messaged BT on like one of his like more recent Instagram posts, and I was like, can you make an EMA styled record at some point in the future? You know, like kind of an ode to the past, because I feel like somebody in his position, I'm in no position to tell anyone what to do or what to make, but I know that there would be so many people that would love to hear that, because he's always going to the next thing and innovating and innovating. But I know there's like a deep appreciation for like the start of what he was able to create.
Definitely.
And kind of like propel music in such a different way, to the point where you had big wigs like Sasha that were on top of the dance music game, flying him out to another country for the first time to witness his music resonating with all these people out there.
Yeah, legit. If we're just talking about this album alone, Movement and Still Life, the beginning of it is heavily inspired by hip hop, and it perfectly blends new school breaks with electronic elements. And then it transitions into trance and progressive house. And then the end of it is like alternative rock. And like, he's like singing on the tracks and he's playing guitar. He's playing whatever instrument. And there are so few albums that have that kind of range and make it make sense. Like, I don't know, man, the guy's a genius.
Absolutely.
Like, even when he released the album in the UK, it was fully mixed. So for the listeners, if you don't know what that means that at the end of each song, it mixed congruently into the beginning of the next, making it sound like a contiguous record from start to finish. But something that's also interesting is he re-released it in the US in 2000. And because American listeners are so different than, you know, European listeners, he switched the order of the tracks. He unmixed it and cut off significant amount of minutes from each track, because like, for example, this track Dreaming is 9 minutes and 15 seconds on the UK version. But if you listen to the American version, it's 5 minutes and 19 seconds. So like, that really gives you a taste of how completely different the American listeners were with music at the time, and they still are. It's getting better, of course, with the internet and streaming and all of these things, social media. But
for sure,
like you say, a man ahead of his time. Man, just I also have such a deep love and appreciation for. I've seen him live 6 times. I've met him twice.
Nice.
I have an autograph of one of his posters. The first time I saw him live, it's hanging up in our room.
And... Don't get Moody started.
Christine knows the deal too. I could go for days about my appreciation for what he's done in music. There's no other artist that has made me tear up like BT. And then like want to like go rage and party and groove. And like he really just pulls emotions from you. It's so wild how his sound design is so great. Is Mad Skills on that album?
It is, yep.
Yeah, like those records are so crazy. Yeah. I like go listen to Mad Skills. You'll drop dead. It's so good.
Made another album like that.
No.
It's like so crazy. He's like, well, this is a time capsule and now we're moving on. Like, what?
It was very much a hybrid album. I love that you went through the whole album too, because it's so true. And I feel like that's been a lot of his early albums, is that he does hit different genres throughout the album as it like unfolds. He'll explore different sounds and vibes and complete. So what I was going to say is actually, have you heard the Lucid mix of Dreaming?
I have.
That's my favorite. So I bought that record. So I have a couple like old school records, like vinyls that I like to collect. And as I got older and I realized, oh wow, I could like actually own these things and I don't have to like burn them to discs anymore and like lose them on my hard drive. And that was the biggest pet peeve for me, is over the years losing music by transferring stuff to a new computer or whatever. So I just made it a point to just start collecting the actual vinyl records. So I have tons of old records, including records that my dad, like Lil Louie, French Kiss, was in his collection.
Wow.
And I was like, Dad, what the hell? Like, you're raving back? That's how big. So I have some really old school records from some ones that are really sentimental to me, like a lot of Armin van Helden, the Daft Punk ones, of course. Music Sounds Better by Stardust, of course, you know. It's become a real joy. I actually just bought a record from my buddy Andre Zimmer. He had a release come out on 7, this label in Berlin. And they sent this dope care pack. She's like, talk about attention to detail. Like, they sent the record. Obviously, the artwork's amazing and stuff. But then there's like keychains and stickers, and they sent me a slip mat. I was like, what, bro? Like, how'd you know I needed a slip mat? I still got these like old Hennessy slip mats that I bought my Techniques But they just came with them, so they just stayed. I don't even like Hennessy, but they're there. Don't tell my friends in Toronto.
Your secret's safe with us and our listeners.
You love Hennessy, bro. I know.
They're on my decks. I can't help it.
Yeah, you love it, dude.
So we go into medical school now, Mikey?
Well, let's go to medical school. At the end of Drop of the Week, you know, I'm just going to take a little snapshot here because you had an extensive schooling, let's say. But I want to take a little look at 2016, 2017, that period. In 2016, you launched Rawsome Records. You also dropped a track called Subtail on Cima Black that rockets up the Beatport charts. Dancing Astronaut slaps your face on their homepage right next to a post featuring Deadmau5. Later that year, you're throwing a boat party in Amsterdam. Then comes 2017. You're hanging out with Todd Terry. You're gearing up for a little Australia tour. You dropped a track called B with Rowetta that would go on to receive support from the likes of Loco Dice, Seth Troxler, countless big name DJs. It's getting played at Ministry of Sound, Izu, rest in peace, on stages all over the world. You're on BBC Radio. Your song hits number three on all of Beatport, not just like Tech House Beatport, but all of Beatport. Number one at the time was a little song called Cola by Camel Fat and Elderbrook that the listeners may have heard. I love that track. And so here we are today, 7 years later. There's been a global pandemic between now and then. You're making a completely different genre of music. Digging into your journey, it just made me curious. What advice would you have for that younger Tom who was going through that whirlwind of excitement then?
I would have told them to stay on the horse. And I feel like just do more of what I loved at the time instead of trying to chase some sort of like perceived success. Because at the time, everything was very brand new. I had never really toured like that. I was meeting tons of artists. I was gaining support from tons of artists that I looked up to. Like, this was what I dreamed of having. Like, that recognition is basically what you want as a young artist. You just notice me, please. I'm here. Help. So, I mean, there's not too much advice because I feel like I did, you know, I always act from the heart. I don't know if I would have done it any other way, but if I were to give advice to a young producer or DJ or artist of any form during their come up is to just enjoy every moment of it. Don't let it pass you by and get so caught up with the stress of it and, you know, really live it up to the fullest because life does go in waves. I mean, think of that, like pandemic hit, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. So I think living your life to the fullest is the best advice that I can give and do the things that people might be like warning you not to do. Like if you really feel passionate about something and you really feel that sense of love and support from the people around you, I would just go full force with it. There's not really too much, you know, I could say like do better business, right? Like that's boring though. The music industry is teamwork. It's not just a one man show or one woman show. Like there is a lot of people in the background that sometimes never get any credit or want the credit. You know what I mean? Like I never really got into DJing to be famous or to be recognized like worldwide or anything like that. As a matter of fact, when I was really young studying martial arts, I wanted to be a stuntman. I didn't really want to be a movie star. I just wanted to be the guy doing the stunts, you know, like give my little name a mention at the end and I'm cool with that. Like as long as I'm doing something I enjoy and I'm having fun and that's really what matters most to me. I think I've lived my entire life with that sort of mentality. And I will say this, when I quit my job in 2017, 2018, that was a redefining moment in my happiness. Like that was now when I wake up every day, I can truly say that I'm happy. Back in those days, it was really hard to even wake up sometimes because I was like, I gotta go to work. I gotta do this. Not that work is a bad thing, but it was work on something I wasn't passionate about. So it did really drain my energy and my like excitement about life in general. You know, I just didn't have the same kind of spark within me as I had when I was a kid. And I think being an artist and going this route has really tapped more into that spirit. And I think that's something certain people lose as they get older. And I feel like that's a mistake. You know, you should never lose that sense of, you know, that childhood spirit. And I guarantee you, it's like every cartoon I was into, every anime, like Goku or, you know, the Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers. And like, you get knocked down, you get back up. You know, it's like when you're a kid, you get knocked down, you go, ah, you cry maybe for a second, but you keep going. Like you don't just stop. So I think life does kind of throw a lot of things at you. And I try to live life, you know, as passionately as I can. And I'm working with the people that I love and being surrounded by the things and people that I love. Like me being an independent artist came after working at the radio station. So that was the first taste of being around music as a career. And I was hooked. I was like, I love this. I love the people. I'm talking to people that understand me for once. They understand that passion. They understand the things that you say and feel. So I think that was just like, yeah. So going back to like 2016, 2017, I wish I had a bigger team. That's my best advice, is maybe, before things get too hectic, try to surround yourself with a lot of like-minded people and have some sort of plan for when things get good, because you always should be confident. Have that self-confidence and don't give yourself a plan B, and kind of anticipate that. And I think you'll be better prepared for, you know, a wave of success that way.
I appreciate your advice so much, man. I sent you a song from my buddy Justin, who we've talked about on this show before, just to give him some advice, because he is that up-and-comer who has all the talent in the world but hasn't had that feedback. And so you immediately sent me back like 20 texts about like, he could do this and this and this is important, yeah, and this is important. And that really meant a lot to him. That really meant a lot to me. So always appreciate your mindset in that regard.
I truly love the up-and-comers. I love new blood in the scene. That's how we get anywhere, right? Like if it weren't for the people before us, we wouldn't really have a path to follow. And it would have been much, much more difficult. I've been helped out by a lot of young artists too. Now that I'm in my 30s, there's been plenty of younger artists that have supported my stuff. And I've done that with older artists. I feel like where's the age restriction? There really is none. So whether you're new or old to the scene doesn't really make a difference to me. But I do love when people are seeking a passion in music. And I know that your friend was definitely going down that path. And his song was great. Like, I really loved the creativity behind it. It was like very new disco-y and funky. Like, again, like my whole direction with Dr. Greco is like fun and feel good. Like, people need that in their lives. And obviously art is, you know, can be any form. But at least for my life, I feel like I wanted to be that good influence and that positive kind of like reinforcement in people's lives, because that's what resonated with me the most as I was growing up. And as I get older, I'm like, all right, how am I going to help the youngins coming up? And if I have kids one day, I would love for them to listen to my Dr. Greco stuff, you know? Maybe not my very first Greco songs that were like for after hours. know? This is what your dad does.
No, you're doing it, dude. You are doing it. It's really dope to see. We are going to, I think, continue to touch on your education. We're going to get into your residency overseas. Moody's got that one.
Oh, yeah. So you said that you were at this job that was just not aligning with your passion until you decided to quit and move to Ibiza.
Oh, yes.
Let's go.
Venga Boy style.
June 2018, you packed it all up and you shipped it to Ibiza and you stayed there for almost 2 months.
It was four more.
Oh, it was 4 months.
It was a long time, yeah. It was like the whole summer season.
Copy. Okay, because I watched your vlogs.
I stopped vlogging because it became a lot of work. So again, credit to all of you for doing what you do. I know how much time it takes and how much work goes into creating content for, you know, YouTube and all these other platforms.
A labor of love.
Well, that makes it even crazier because the 7 weeks that I learned about by watching your vlogs, you did so much. You did so much because, as we know, like, the party doesn't stop in Ibiza. Like, it doesn't matter that it's a Monday or Tuesday or a Wednesday. Like, you're going out, you're doing things, you're networking, you're at a party,
yeah,
you're playing parties. I won't make you get into like the details because I just wrote some things down. But you booked gigs at Ibiza Rocks Bar, Pure, Calabasa, Port des Torrent, Ibiza White FM. And then you had 2 weekly parties that were going on, one at Entice and then another at Ibiza Rocks Bar. You're doing like some funky, soulful, classic house type music. And I love that on your vlog, you were like inviting people. You were like, if you're in town, please hit us up. Like, we want to put you on the lineup.
Absolutely.
I just thought that was so cool that you were doing that, like trying to help everyone else out. When like, here you are, new to Ibiza. Like, that's so, it speaks volumes about you, you know, like giving other people the opportunity to chop it up and like do your thing. Artists you saw play, Todd Terry, Sam Devine, Sonny Fedora. Quite often you saw Sonny Fedora.
Sonny every Friday. Ibiza rocks. It was awesome.
Frankie Rizzardo, DJ Sneak, Claptone, Fisher, our hometown hero, Eli Escobar, Martinez Brothers, Peggy Goo, Huxley, Second City. The list goes on. Like, we would be here all night if we said everyone that you saw. One highlight that I thought was pretty cool is you got to see Kenny Dope play for Glitterbox at High Ibiza. How was that? Tell me about that.
That was, my goodness. I think Glitterbox is arguably the best Ibiza party you can go to.
Yeah.
So if you do wind up in Ibiza at some point this summer in 2025, definitely check out High Ibiza and go to a Glitterbox party, specifically Glitterbox. It's another moment where you're just singing every song to every track. I caught Todd Terry, Louis Vega, and Armin van Helden. And my cousins that are in town now are actually the ones that went to Glitterbox with me that night. And we had the best time.
I can only imagine, because so many of those DJs love to play the classics that everyone knows the words to. So it has to be such a euphoric moment to be on a dance floor like that at whatever time. And like just being surrounded by people who, again, know all the words. Like, those are the most fun times on the dance floor when everyone's like in it with you.
Yeah. I don't know where it went, you know, like a few years ago, if you had vocals in your song, you were like, we don't like you. At least in the underground scene, so much has changed now. I mean, this has probably gone 10 years now. But yeah, Glitterbox was amazing. Their production was incredible. The team behind that, you know, Defected, they're just goated in this industry. Their performers were spot on. It was just the most well-produced event, or one of the most well-produced events I've ever been to. And just having the privilege to be there, because like every time I would think of Ibiza, I think old school. I think like the old rave days. Like, I want it to be like that again.
Definitely.
And as I was going out to multiple parties, you had to voluntarily say, all right, today I'm just going to go to the gym and like make some music or something. Like, you had to really like, you know, cause like a Sunday, you know, you can be at like Amnesia, you know, on Monday was DC 10 Paradise, or was it the Martinez Brothers? I forget. There was so much going on. I saw so many different artists, so many different people. But the point is like when you went to a Glitterbox party, the inclusion was felt. Like, you really felt like this is why this music got so far, is because of these records. Yeah, like all the other shows were amazing and the music was amazing, but you just didn't have that kind of like connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
The way that a Glitterbox kind of brought people together. Like, people are dancing with one another. It was just like pure vibes. It was so much fun.
I love that you point that out, because I've been following Glitterbox just like on socials and things, and they make it a point to highlight their dancers, and their dancers are all pretty much queer and people of like all sorts of diversity and ethnicity, and they are fucking hot people. Like, they are like slaying on stage, like doing all sorts, and they have these incredible headpieces and outfits on, and they are like on every second. And I'm like, yeah, this is what we're missing here. We need like the performance aspect of it. Like, we need these people like drawing us in and like interacting with us, right? Because they're interacting with the people in the crowd and like making them feel like, oh, you are a part of this performance. Like, we are not the performance. Like, everyone here is the performance.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of like connecting and meeting and like still stay in touch with some of the performers there, because I wound up like on stage with Kenny Dope at High a few times. Same thing with like Ibiza Rocks. And, you know, like, there's a certain sort of like camaraderie with performers, because like, as a DJ, you're also a performer. You know, we're here to work at the end of the day. Like, we're putting on a show for everyone. We're making sure everyone has an amazing time. Like, that is our one purpose, is to make sure everyone's having a good time. So like, at the end of it or in the beginning of it, like, you're just meeting all these people that are coming into work, and everyone loved what they were doing. And that was like the underlying, like the fundamental of working in this industry, is that I noticed mostly everyone loved what they were doing. And I think that resonated so much with the crowd there. And I agree. I think like, performers are super important to break the ice. And there's a lot of people that are like a little afraid and kind of like a little, you know, shy in the beginning of a night, and they'll need a drink or two. Just throw a performer up. You'll get everyone moving. Like, honestly, I was part of a shuffle group when I was starting to rave, and I met so many people through there. So I was really proud to have been like, I came from the dance floor and now I'm on stage. Like, I love that trajectory, because I feel like the people that understand the most about what a club and what the people on the dance floor want are the dancers. Like, they're the ones with the rhythm, with the groove. Like, they get people hyped. They got so much energy about them, and they're not getting paid. They're just there having a good time. Go figure. So anyone that dances or shuffle, it doesn't matter if you shuffle or not, but if you're like actively like giving energy and dancing and grooving, I usually make a point to like greet people and introduce myself to them and just show appreciation. Like, thank you for being here. Like, thank you so much. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, where are your friends? Can you bring them too? But I think performers are definitely a really great addition to any event. I'll have one more story that kind of plays into that. When I was going to Space a lot in Miami, I was living in like Sarasota, Bradenton area on the west coast of Florida. And I would take 4-hour trips to go to Space and learn and party and meet people. And I was really like, I was soaking things in like a sponge, because I was that motivated and just inspired by all this new music. I was just turning 21, 22. Never heard any of this stuff before. I was like, how have I been alive and I have not known about all this stuff? So it really did take you to be going out to these clubs to learn about it. So I went to see Danny Tenaglia, because I heard a lot of really great things. And this was probably in like that 2014 or 15 era. And he blew my mind, like absolutely blew my mind. And I am a forever Danny Tenaglia fan. And the one thing, well, there were a lot of things that stood out in that show, but not only the music and his character in general, like getting on the mic, eating a sandwich as he's DJing at like 9 a.m, like cracking jokes to the people in the crowd. He had a performer come in like a full on green suit. So you could only see their eyes. They're just there. Danny was playing a song, and every once in a while, the performer would come in to the middle of the dance floor. Literally, this is like hundreds of people, goes right into the middle of the dance floor and like starts doing like this interpretive dance. And then Danny starts like looping on the CDJs, and then starts like cutting back the loop. So it starts stuttering, and the performer starts like stuttering, and as he's like, you know, like, it was just wild. Like, it just blew my mind. It really did. And I was like, wow, I'll never forget that. And that was all because of this like added element of surprise and just excitement and fun. And again, it just broke the barriers and let people realize like, this is a fun time. Like, this is a party. Like, we're supposed to meet each other and have fun and high five and dance. Like, let your troubles go away. And I took so much back from that show. And shout out to Danny Tenaglia, New York legend.
And shout out Mystery Green Man. I love that story.
Green human.
Green person.
I would love to meet them, and I would love to see that performance again in some form or fashion.
If you're listening, Green human, maybe come to Odyssey.
Yes, we love you.
We'd love to get you out to St. Pete.
Yeah, we might have to throw Mikey in one of those.
I'm sure he'd do a great job. Interpretive dancing.
I like the idea. You'd kill it.
Oh, thanks, bud. Yeah, I'm actually not opposed.
I feel like me and Mikey ran into each other a couple times at the festival. We were both like, I was like, I love this guy. He's just like me.
Yeah, we connected hard. That was great. I wish we had more time to groove. I'm just glad that I finally cornered you for this interview, because I was hunting you down all weekend at OMF, and he lost his voice, and yeah, I was busy.
Oh,
I don't know, something about running a festival, it gives you a lot of things to do, keeps you busy.
I was so upset about that. The day before we started Loden, my voice was starting to go. So by Loden day, my voice was already shot, because I'm on the phone, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it wasn't that I was like physically sick or anything. Like, my voice was actually hoarse to the point where I couldn't speak anymore. It took everything out of me to get on the microphone and like say a few words and introduce Miha. And I love getting on the, as much as I'm like nervous to get on the mic, I feel like there's a true purpose of doing, like, you can really powerfully speak to people that way and really get to them, like really speak to them that way. And I wanted to do the interview so badly, because like the setting and everything is so nice. I really appreciate what you did for us at Odyssey. And I know the artists were like blown away by the accommodation and just like the appreciation. You just absolutely crushed that. So,
well, thank you, bro.
Thank you, Mikey.
And thank you for your time here today.
Yeah. My voice is back. We're
voice
good.
Is here. I want to hear Frenchie's voice as we wind down this beautiful episode.
Yeah, Mikey, do we want to chat about how Greco got to see Rowetta sing their collab be live at Eden?
That was amazing.
The first week that he was living there. Yeah, tell us about that.
That was incredible, because Rowetta was actually, the whole story behind that record is that I reached out to, like, no one wanted to sign the record. Like, Defected didn't want to touch it. Tool Room didn't want to touch it. I feel like some of the greatest success stories start with that. Like, nobody wanted to sign it. So then I released it myself. Right. And that was really like the success of my label and my career, was through one record, really. Like, I really owe it to Rowetta for giving me that opportunity. Shout out to Clang Hustler for remixing that track into an absolute monster, world-renowned tune that like just still gets played to this day. I'm just so grateful for that. And that's a true testament of like just going with your gut, doing what you love, don't let people tell you no, like never take no for an answer. And then sure enough, I'm in Ibiza, Rowetta's on stage singing this song live for like 1,000 people in one of the biggest clubs in the San Antonio district in Ibiza. It was insane. So.
Go off, Rowetta.
Yeah. I love her so much, and I appreciate that relationship so much. And yeah, Ibiza was insane.
What was like the craziest support that just floored you for this track?
Oh man, there's so many. This, all right, so floored me has to be Seth Troxler. It's between Seth and Loco Dice. Those two, they were idols to my friends, my peers, like myself. They were untouchable. If you could get them to play your record, you were like superstar status as a producer. Logan Ice, Seth Troxler, huge like impact on my mental health. I went holistic. My soul. think I cried because I was working still at my day job, and I would get these videos as I'm sitting,
oh my gosh,
at my desk. Sonny Federa playing at EDC was also a big one. I was at my desk for that one as well. I think the biggest one has to go to Calvin Harris.
Wow.
Like, that's insane to me. And that was also in Ibiza, which is crazy.
Did you get to see it? Were you there?
I was not there for it. I think it happened like a year or two later. Like, Loco Dice didn't play my song until a year after it had came out. So it just had legs that just spanned the test of time.
Love that.
But yeah, Pasquale also played it. I was like, what? I was like, Pasquale DJs? And he played my song.
You didn't even know he DJed until you heard him dropping your song.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. But I think this really goes out to Rowetta. She's just, this vocal is iconic and just record overall. Shout out to James Hype for still playing this in 2024.
Oh, what a legend.
James Hype.
Classic.
Thank you. Thank you. Shout outs to Klein Kunstler.
Hell yeah.
Mega remix. Shout out to Duke Dumont as well. Duke's got a habit of playing this track out a lot too. So I gotta love him for that. He's been great.
I also want to shout out this other time that I think was in the last video that you posted about your vlogs. You got to play with Sony Federa at the after party following his weekly Ibiza Rocks Hotel party. Tell us about that, because that's fucking dope.
It was his stag party, actually. So that was like the night before he was like his like bachelor party in Ibiza. It was so much fun. I don't think I've ever seen him get that drunk.
Yeah.
And we were together a lot. So we were like kind of helping him, and we got him, like, he still DJed flawlessly. Like, he's such a professional with that. I mean, people were hanging on the railings. Like, it got wild. Like, I've never seen Ibiza Rocks get that crazy, but they had a Function One sound system there. I mean, it banged. It was just such a proper venue. Like, you had people eating dinner, you know, upstairs, like more towards the entrance. And then you like look into the club a little more because it's like a bar club and it's just like a rager. It was so awesome.
Mayhem.
Like, that's so funny you brought that up. I forgot about that.
People are like falling off the stairs. Like,
oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. You got some good footage from that party.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew vlogging that trip was going to be awesome to look at years later. I haven't watched them back yet because I feel so cringe when I watch myself like, yo, what's up, guys? I'm here in Ibiza. I'm going to see like that and the other.
Hey, guys.
Come follow me. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad.
Well, I'm glad you did too,
me
because
three.
It gave me all of this great content that like, I could talk to you about.
Yeah. My only regret is not doing it the full, like, I just had to put the camera down and just enjoy myself for the second half.
Yeah.
Because it became a very good networking opportunity. I was getting a lot of emails for my email list, and like, I would hang out with BB and another and Dennis Cruz and Pausa every weekend on Sundays over at Privilege. This was before Hanging Tree came out. And I'm so glad BB's okay and he fought through all that, because he is truly an amazing human being. Like, that whole team is so talented. And being around them every Sunday, like, I felt like part of their family.
Mm.
I went to their villa a couple of times. And we would have our space esoteric talks at like 6 a.m. as the sun's coming up and stuff. And it was a wild time, but they were all talking about going to the United States. And I was there to kind of like be that window to the States for them and kind of encourage them. And they're like, oh, maybe I should go out there without a visa. And they're like, nah, like, wait. And I was like, yes, wait and do it right. And I swear to you, like, the United States is going to be so thrilled when Solid Grooves finally is able to have them in the United States. And look at them now. Shout out to Solid Grooves. Like, they were a big inspiration throughout that entire trip. And I don't think I missed a Sunday. And I didn't miss a Friday for Sunny either. And I went to Amnesia almost every Thursday to see my buddy Luca Donzelli for their pyramid parties. And then they had a drum and bass party on the other. Oh, my God. They had Sub Focus one night. And I was like, I have to go. And that was the first drum and bass show I had ever been to. And I absolutely loved it. And I was a big Sub Focus fan already. And when I saw him on a lineup with like Tech House and stuff going on in like the terrace area of Amnesia, I was there in a heartbeat. And it was one of the best times. It really was.
We love Sub Focus on this show.
I can't even imagine seeing Sub Focus at Amnesia.
DMB in Ibiza.
Unreal.
Yeah. And it's like, I want to say that drum and bass is so much bigger now and more appreciated now than it was back then, like in 2018, to the point where it was very comfortable in the club for Sub Focus. You'll never get that anymore. Not that I think, you know, not here in the States. Like, every show is packed.
Not even like a year ago, I feel like. We've seen a ton of drum and bass in the last year, but even before then, even as of like 2022, we really weren't like seeing a ton of DNB. But yeah. I would agree. I think that the appreciation has definitely grown, and thank goodness, because it's so much fun.
It
started blowing up here the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the blending of like the bass community and the house community was essential to drum and bass becoming like more appreciated, because I feel like the younger people that were into bass music and then the younger people getting into like tech house and house music were a little more open-minded and were just down for a good time, which I appreciate. And I'm so glad, because I've been a drum and bass fan forever and just always was like, yeah, there's no way this is going to get so fast. Like, no one's going to know what to do to this stuff. So I'm really glad we were able to host a stage like dedicated to drum and bass this year at Odyssey. And we're continuing to do that in the future. And it looks like we're going to have some like solo shows that are going to be happening under like the Wave Stage Odyssey branding with like drum and bass. And I think we're going to go ahead and do the same thing with Ross and Rave and kind of just spearhead that.
Let's go.
Yeah, we love the underdogs. We really do. Yeah. You know,
we're big stands of drum and bass. And whenever you're having an event, please invite us.
Yeah. Let's do one. We should plan one for 2025 up there in New York, so you guys don't have to travel.
Oh my God.
That would also be dope.
Yeah, I was like, I'll come to you, but if you're going to come to me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, either way, you guys can come here anytime.
Por que no los dos?
Oh, yeah. There was one more thing that I wanted to bring up about, like, from the time that I was watching your vlogs. You came back to New York because you got a gig opening for Lo Steppa at Good Room. And I have to tell you, Lo Steppa ranks like in my top three all-time house DJs. So I geeked out pretty hard when I heard that you did that.
Yeah, between him and Sonny are like my older brothers in the scene. I owe a lot to them because they really vouched for me in the beginning of that like whole B era. You gotta have friends in the scene, and like they were just so kind to me and so inviting. And Lo Steppa, his music was always so freaking good
every time,
and I aspired to be like him. I was like, wow, he's got like the house sound, but it's like futuristic and it's got like a little edge to it, and I like that. The more I dug about him, I was like, oh, he was like a grime producer and kind of like dubby in a way. And so I could see where that influence came from. So shout out to Lo Steppa and Sonny. Like, they were big influences and just friends in the scene for me. I'm so like heartfelt when I meet like true friends in the scene that they support you, they like your music, and they're like playing your songs at every show. Loyalty is hard to come by in the scene because there's just so much happening. There's so many artists, so many people. Everyone's got a different sound and style now. So it's really hard to like hit the nail on the head with a certain artist that might be bigger than you that can help really expose you to more fans. And Lo Steppa was like the first one to start like blasting B at like Ministry of Sound. And then sure enough, like a couple weeks later, I get like a DM from Sonny Federa like, yo, my friend Lo Steppa told me about this record you made. Like, can you send that to me? I was like, fuck yeah. I was at work, shot him the track. Like a week later, he's playing EDC in Orlando, and my friends that are in Florida went to go see him. I got a video of him playing my track at EDC to like thousands of people. I was like, oh my God, bro. I hate my job, but I love my life. Yep. I want to be happy, but I'm so sad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a tearjerker. I can't even tell you. Like, there were so many times at the office where I was like sitting at my desk and like these support videos would come through. And I would literally like tear up and like be so happy. That really gave me the fuel to keep going. Like those, like what we started with this podcast is like all about support and kindness and helping one another. That shit goes such a long way. And I never forget the people that helped me. Yeah, Lo Steppa has done some incredible things. And he's a family man. And I respect that so much. And he's providing for, you know, his children, and that's even more of a reason to support somebody like him. And he gave me some of my best opportunities, some of the greatest opportunities I've had in my career. So yeah, I love what he's doing now. He's like kind of transcended the house music scene and has like built his record label into a label that has been acquired by Defected and West, that was once managing Simo Black, is now the owner of Defected. It's just amazing to see how things have gone on throughout the years. And these guys that have helped me and have been so true to the scene have, you know, really capitalized on that and have grown into these like positions of power to really help like the next generation of artists come up, and they're doing such a great job. So I actually just talked to Lo Steppa yesterday.
Aw, so dope.
I was just wishing him a happy Christmas. Aww. And a happy new year.
Yeah, he's awesome. Every song that I have ever heard of his, I'm like, I don't know how it's another banger, but it is.
Yeah. Do you remember the free album he came out with a little while back?
The free album?
So this was unheard of at the time. Like, I was always doing a lot of free downloads and stuff. This man put out a full album for free. And I'm not talking about like some rinky-dink, like half-ass album. Like, this was a banger album for free, which was like kind of unheard of. And that also drew me in. I was like, wow, this guy is like a goat. Like, he's just giving this away. And he had this piano track in there. Again, it's like that dirty underground Todd Terry style, like house music, but had that edge to it. Weighed me. I was already a fan, and then I was a super fan. I was like, this, and I still play. If I play a slower set these days, I always work in his War remix. Ha! Amazing. Absolutely. his remixes were so good, and I feel like that was another reason we got along really well. Same thing with James Hype. There were a lot of us that were like trading reposts back in the day and like helping one another like kind of climb the ladder and gain followers, distribute followers that were into, you know, similar styles of music. So it's amazing to see how far he's gone. And he inspired me to see that like making a career out of music is possible. The more and more people that I met and that I had a personal connection with, knowing that they were doing this just inspired me to keep going. I think it really does boil down to the community and the people you surround yourself with.
1,000%.
We completely agree.
I love this episode.
Me too.
Me three.
Oh, this is awesome.
Me four.
Me five.
We got to do it again sometime.
Maybe a live one of these days. That would be a blast.
Yeah. See, I was sad that we couldn't do it live, but I'm even happier to do it now because I have my voice and we have Aaron and Aaron. So it's like a family affair. So it really feels great to have you guys here.
You're a part of the Plurality family now.
Officially.
Forever. So you're trapped. You're stuck. So congratulations. Or I'm sorry. Take your pick.
All right. We got one last question for you. If you were on an airplane and there was an emergency, and you heard someone shout, "Is there a doctor on board?" What is one crisis you feel confident you could step up to the plate and say, "Don't worry, Dr. Greco is here"?
Oh, man. I'll fly an airplane, okay? I'll fly an airplane if that was the crisis. But if somebody is like, "Oh, man, I'll just play some music for him," right? I'm a music therapist. I am a certified music therapist. That is true.
Wow.
Is Dr. Dre a doctor? I don't think so.
But Dr. Greco is certified.
Yeah, music is healing. I think, you know, if you boil down to it on a serious side, music does have healing effects. Music is magic. I think music does manifest things physically through your emotions and through stress. So there's a lot of ways that music can help people's emotions and stress levels go down, which does, you know, elevate your life, and you will have a longer, happier life, and you won't age as quickly.
Definitely true. Age more gracefully.
Oh my goodness, what a question. That's crazy. You had me think. I put myself there. I was like, oh man. Ooh, Dial Tone. This was actually one of the first songs I made is Dr. Greco.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, this was over a year ago I made this, like around October. And I just love like this, the video game kind of sounds, like 8-bit, 16-bit style sounds. I do a lot of big crushing in my tracks. So.
I like the like trappy vibes too, right before the chorus.
I mean, I love hip hop too. I was working on some like funk music before I started doing this stuff this year. So yeah, I have a couple funk tracks out. I have like, I don't know if you want to call it drum and bass, but yeah. Fifth Jerusalem is the other project I have that no one knows about. Yeah, this is. I had a lot of fun making this track. I'm glad you guys like this. It means really so much to me that you guys like my music. Thank you so much. It's just super humbling and makes me want to go and make more right now.
Well, do it. Go make more.
Yes.
Keep sharing it with us.
We ain't stopping. It's a brand new year, so yeah, new goals, the resolutions, like the affirmations that you tell yourself, and just smash the new year. I mean, make it yours. Like, it's the best way to go about it. I think New Year's resolutions are so great, and not to be like cliche or anything, but it really is a good time of the year to set these goals and see if you're going to impress yourself. Like, I know that you can.
Nobody cares. Work harder.
That is the best saying ever.
And if you want a t-shirt with that, you can head to Rossum Recordings website, get some merch, support the homies.
Yes, yes. We got to come out with a little line of those again.
All right, let's see what this track is all about.
Ooh, this is an old one.
Yeah, this is called Soul to Soul, Back to Life, the Greco remix.
And now I know the difference between projects. If it's like above a certain BPM, I know it's the new project. If it's slower, then I know exactly what's going on. This one got a lot of support too. How many plays does this have?
On the SoundCloud, 148,000.
Not bad, not bad. I think my music sounds better in remix. That was the one that hit BBC Radio, and because of Low Steppa.
What a ledge.
Love that guy.
Well, you've been giving so many shout outs this episode. Would you tell the people where they can find your stuff if they want to follow along the journey?
Of course I can. At Greco's House on Instagram. The name is Dr. Greco, Dr. Greco. And Spotify, Instagram, TikTok, Beatport, YouTube. I'll start making some YouTube content soon. I really do want to. I just need like a safe space of just no distractions and proper soundproofing.
It's coming. 2025, set the goal, go get it.
Yeah, we're setting goals. I'll share some really cool stuff with you guys privately, but this year is looking really amazing. I was really worried about the future and then just went to Texas for a month and a half, came back, and things just started clicking. Sometimes you got to shake it up in life. You got to do things that make you uncomfortable. I worked a job in Dallas that reminded me of how much I hated working. And I'm so damn appreciative of what I've built for myself. And I want to work even harder towards that now that I've done a normal job again. Sales job.
Yeah.
So it's good to shake things up and put yourself in uncomfortable positions, because it's going to help you grow. It's going to build you a thicker skin, and it's going to do better.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! All right, well, Plurbies, if you want to catch more from us, we are at Plurality Pod on all platforms. This has been a true joy. We look forward to many more amazing conversations in 2025. We've got some shout-outs. Who do we got? Roombe. Let's just kick off the new year with a shout-out to Roombe.
Roombe.
Tom, that is Andrew Lux's Roomba, for your information.
What up, Roombe? Let's go. 2025.
What goals does Roombe have for 2025?
He could tell us on the next episode.
Maybe. We'll have Roombe on. Barbara Streisand, Miss Cream, Alley Cat. And I want to send it over to the Aarons for our official sign-off.
Well,
they're whispering. They're consulting with each other.
It's all good. I'm just reminiscing on this song right now.
It's 8, 9 years old?
It's old.
All right, our Aarons listo?
We're going to say peace, love, and derb.
And derb! What does derb mean? I looked it up on Urban Dictionary. It said an enthusiastic and enjoyable game of roller derby. A delicious herb.
I think it means a banger track now.
Yes.
I think we've redefined. We gave it a new meaning.
That is the definition.
Like when you hear a dope track in the club, you just want to go, derb!
Derb!
It's
derb.
Funny. I'll send you a video of my buddy that caught those videos at Academy LA. You can hear him going, derb! It's a thing now.
Do, 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 do.
That's awesome.
That's the largest track.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me. This has been like the greatest start to a new year I could ever ask for. So shout out Plurality. I wish you all the success. Yeah, let's link in IRL very soon. Link in the real
world and do something fun. Love to do that.
We are down.
Let's go like bowling or something.
Ooh.
That's like so derb.
Or like mini golf.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Say less.
Because then we can get the plushies in the crane games.
Oh.
You can get new plushies.
Dude, those are a scam.
Speaking our language.
No, me and Christine and my sister Ange, we have the hacks. Don't tell anybody.
You have the crane game
we
hacks?
We have so many of these.
Dang, I want the hacks.
We have so many.
All right, next episode, reveal all your hacks.
Yeah.